Hey, good evening, everybody, on a rainy night here in beautiful Norwalk, Connecticut. We are the Tri-State Sports Guys. I'm Mike DePalma, next to my partner, Neil Lynch. Get something. You've already got your red box, right?
Yeah.
It's an extra buck. Wait till tomorrow. We got Tony D behind the glass causing trouble. Tony, any controversy on our site this week?
It's all quiet. So
although O is not happy, you called him out about Kate Mara.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, isn't it?
He did say, I got the emails. He was going to deliver Kate Mara, and that never came to fruition.
He did not. He hooked me up with her either.
No, he never did. And I think he said she's got a boyfriend, long-term boyfriend.
Yeah, well,
sounds made up.
Yeah, I mean.
The whole thing sounds made up.
Either way, she doesn't blow away.
Now, I said, you could be, you know, she'll be like Jamie Lynn Sigler, and you'll be like Turtle. And and I think you'd be dating like Entourage, right?
Yeah.
You're Johnny Drummond here.
I'll take it.
I'll take Johnny Drama. All right, we got a busy show tonight. We did a ton of show prep, so this is going to be one of those, like, right-in-the-pocket shows where we're just running on all cylinders.
Shooting from the hip.
That's it. So, I'm going to start with two other stories before we delve into the sports world. First is, I mean, my last week has been consumed with Blackout. Like, different ways we're going to pitch it. I'm pitching this idea to different directors, try to get some funding for this. This is happening. I don't think you're as on board with it as me, because I'll replace you. I'll go out and grab another guy. There's a ton of comedians
that are just like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dime a dozen.
Ray Romano, I was thinking. He's you know, out there right now. So I'm going to elaborate a little bit. The pilot, I think, is set in stone. It's going to be the one where you wake up and there's a little five-year-old kid.
Yeah,
but now I'm, like, walking through storyboards, right? I'm just going to walk you through. So you wake up. I already went through that. You get the little kid there. You're like, oh, my God. You call your friend Tony. Tony's playing video games, got a headset on. He's like, bro, I left at 10, man. The place is dead anyway. Tony's like, here, you call the me character. I got my wife, kids. There's kids running around, you know. And you're like, hey, Mike, you want to go to the zoo today? And I'm like, yeah, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, you got to get your life together. So then you walk out into the living room. You see this beautiful young woman there. She's in, like, yoga pants.
Yeah.
She's, like, bending over. So you take a picture.
Hopefully see-through.
Say, yeah, you're right. We can get product integration.
Yeah.
You send it to me and Tony, and you're like, take back what you said. Ha ha. Right after you send it, your phone rings. Okay? This is where the show gets interesting.
Yeah.
All that pops up is XOXO. You know when sometimes girls are like, let me put my number in your phone?
Yeah.
And they don't want to put their name. They put something cute.
Yeah.
So now you're like, oh boy, right? So then this girl comes on the phone, and you're like, who could this be? And you're like, she's like, I had such a great time last night. Thank you for agreeing to bring my son to the zoo, and thank you for agreeing to bring my daughter to field hockey practice. And you just realize you just took a picture of like a 14-year-old girl.
Oh boy.
Yep.
I've done that.
Yeah, that's you just pulled from the headlines of Neil's real life.
I'm horrible at telling age. So that's spot
this
on.
This is it, dude. Yeah. I mean, this show is so made for you.
Yeah.
I've never seen you act, but I got to think that this isn't going to be – I think we'll just get you drunk, and then you wake up on the set, and you're just walking you through it.
I'll pull my real-world audition tapes, and you can take a look.
You're real.
See how it is.
But the pilot is there. It's there. I mean, you know, I got to find something that said there's got to be that, like, aha moment. Like, oh, no, it was Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
Something in every episode.
Need a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got that. So I think that's going to be our pilot. We really got to just – harness this in. Tony, you're going to be involved. Maybe you just hit the clap button every once in a while. If you're in the middle of the show, there's just a clap button and we can't talk over it. but in terms of also just our growing popularity, obviously we had the great article by Tony D last week, which blew up. And, you know, we got the owner of this poor dog, the person who bought the thing off of Craigslist, came on our website, defended himself, and he's the victim. It was insane, you know, the kind of hits we got. But to even expand what's going on with Tri-State Sports Guys, I'm up in Rhode Island this week, and I'm driving back, and I love listening to I talked to you about it. Boston Talk Radio still blows it out of the water. So, but as I'm getting into Connecticut, it's starting to fade out. I turn on the fan, and Frances is going off about Sandy Koufax, best pitcher of all time, no debate. Okay? And people are calling in, oh, what about so-and-so, what about so-and-so? And he's like, the 4 years he put together, best 4 years in the history of baseball, this and that. So I'm like, I got to call in. I got a pretty strong opinion about this. I'm going to call. There's no way I'm going to get through. Call in, not busy, immediately, what's your name, where are you from? Mike from Norwalk. All right, hold, please. Minute, I'm on the air with Mike Francesa, right? First time I ever
called. That's what happens when you're a Tri-State sports guy.
Well, they saw the number, and they were like, wait, TSG coming in. So I said, Mike, I said, I got to disagree with you here about Sandy Koufax. I said, you're basing this off of his 4 years, and you're just discounting his first 6 years in baseball. He was horrible.
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, what is that, man? Well, you know, and I was like, there's a lot of guys that have had good four-year stretches, and you want to just pick up. I said, what about Johan Santana? And this is when he began to talk over me, and that was a stupid comment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you look at his career with the Twins, and you just looked at those 4 years, you'd say this guy's the best pitcher of a generation.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to say it because he was talking over me, but can you imagine if he had retired, you know, Sandy Koufax retired when he was 31 or 32. If he had retired right when he came to the Mets, had that one good year, got hurt, and retired, how much differently would you think?
Yeah.
Because nobody would have seen this. Like, so how are you going to go
by? You
can
say that about a lot of pitchers. I mean, Pedro.
Yeah, well, that Pedro is another example I was going to use. You know, you could look at Doc Gooden when he came up. You could look at a lot of guys that had good four-year stretches. Fernando Valenzuela came up and burst on the scene and was, you know, faded away. So you're going to go by 4 years. And I said, well, how are you going to put a guy like, you know, Sandy Koufax ahead of Greg Maddux, when Greg Maddux did it over the course of an entire career? And you look at a guy, I mean, Sandy Koufax had four outstanding seasons out of 11. That's not a great person. And he's like, why is he in the Hall of Fame? Why is he in the Hall of Fame? Maddux was terrible in the playoffs. And I said he was in the Hall of Fame because those 4 years are the best four consecutive seasons anybody's had. But that doesn't make him the best pitcher. How could you just discount what he did? And then he hangs up on me. So then he takes another caller, and then he starts – somebody, his producer, must have given him the stats. So then he starts actually going through this first six seasons, and they were all awful. He's going, well, but listen, he was wild. He didn't find his control. And I'm like, so what? And he's just discounting that he was wild? That's just like saying, well, like Dwight Gooden, well, so he was on drugs. If he wasn't on drugs, you can't just discount – 3/4 of his career.
Rob Dibble could have been the best all-time saver closer of all time.
Yeah, oh yeah. Rick Gankiel could have been the best pitcher of all time if he didn't lose his control. And part of me, what I'm thinking of is, like, think about closers. How many closers have we seen have, like, Eric Gagne didn't blow a save for, like, two straight seasons.
Yeah.
So we're just looking at that one bit of his career. We're just looking at, what was the guy, Koch up in Toronto had that great closing season. There's a lot of guys that have one or two great seasons. Brad Lidge had the perfect season that 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, Fernando Rodney's the best closer of all time because last year he had the best season of all time. It's the best season of all time.
Yeah.
The best I've ever seen. That's what he goes, you didn't see it. So that's his whole argument. And then he lists out his first six seasons, and none of them were good. He didn't have a winning season until his seventh season in the major leagues.
I mean, we could qualify to the cows come home about, like, well, in terms of facing left-handed batters in the month of August.
Yeah. Nobody was
on
there.
On turf. You're looking at a pretty good outing out of Jared Weaver.
Yeah. No, I'm not even saying that Johan Santana is better than, and I don't think he is better than Sandy Koufax, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm just pointing out, I use it as an example to show you can't just look at the guy's prime and then completely discount the rest of his career like it didn't happen. It wasn't a guy who's been, like, pretty good. I mean, remember, like, some of the seasons Roy Oswalt had and Jake Peavy, they put together crazy seasons. Roy Halladay, Pedro, like you said, the numbers that Pedro put up during the steroid era were insane.
And there's no way in hell he took steroids.
No. And then he goes, so then somebody called up and used the Pedro example. And he goes, look, Pedro was great, but he wasn't durable enough. Now I'm like, wait. You just said Sandy Koufax is the best pitcher of all time. The guy was hurt like every other year of his career and then retired when he was 32. But he's durable? But Pedro Martinez isn't durable. But you could never have that conversation with Mike Francesa because, you know, I'm surprised he allowed me to get out as much as I did.
Yeah.
And he obviously laughed it off, even though he, you know, proved my point 5 minutes later when he read off the stats.
Well, and that's why they gave him a 5-year extension or like a $50 million contract.
He is unlistenable, dude. He is so bad at just all, you know, everything he says, you know. And then he just repeats himself. If he has a point, he'll say it 7 times in a row.
It's
slightly different ways.
But FAN, and people continue to listen because it's people like us that realize that it's just not, nothing of what he's saying is true or factual or.
Listen, I agree with you. But there are still people that call up. The guy who called up right after me, they're like, Mike, I just want to thank you for the service you provide New York listeners. Like, it's like you didn't want to be lumped in with me who actually called him out.
Yeah.
He had to kiss the ring first. But I honestly think, I mean, Mike and the Mad Dog was really the first sports talk show in the country that did nothing but sports. The Fan was the first all sports
radio. Yeah.
So he had the whole market to themselves. And so now it's almost, you know, it's like anything else. When a when a it was like Mad TV trying to take over for Saturday Night Live. Like, Mad TV was funny. There was funny episodes. There's no way they were going to ever take over the market share from Saturday Night Live. It's like people just knew if you were happened to be home at 11:30 on Saturday,
you were watching
Saturday Night Live.
If I may, that was a result of a lull in the SNL. A lot of people saying that that was their demise because it was as the ratings were decreasing year by year, and so Fox saw an opportunity for an SNL killer, as it were, and that's when they started Mad TV, and then SNL, of course, brought in the likes of Will Ferrell and such.
And then the girls of that, you know, the
girls,
the 2000s, with the Tina Fey and the
Molly Shannon, Amy Poehler, and
the Rachel Dratch.
Dratch.
That whole crew, and really save the day. Although, I will tell you, I don't know if you watch last night.
Can we campaign for Mike Francesa on SNL?
Oh, can you only imagine? Can you only imagine? It would just—I couldn't even. I could imagine him doing anything, like anywhere around doing. But it would be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, he's such a mockery of himself at this point.
Just because he would actually have to walk around.
Yeah, I know. Has anybody
seen him sitting down? I saw him stand once, maybe.
He would imagine his monologue. Yeah. He'd be just sitting down. They'd wheel him out.
Like a rascal.
He'd just come out.
A motorized scooter.
He'd be out there. Yeah. God. But I will tell you about Saturday Night Live. I don't know how much you watch it.
Every week.
You know, it's growing on me. And I think, and there's been a lot of good people on Weekend Update. Seth Meyers, every week, has got, like, a couple killer jokes. Like, really good.
Yeah.
And it was a while before I really started liking him. I think he's as good as anybody.
Yeah.
That they've had. And there's been a lot of good people. I love Norm MacDonald.
And he's doing it solo, too.
Yeah, I know. He's doing it solo.
For a long time, they had the two.
For a while, it was the thing. It was like Dennis Miller. Who I never got, maybe because I was young, and I still think he's very unfunny. But then, like, Colin Quinn was funny, but his delivery is so bad. Like, he's super funny, but
it's like he never rehearsed.
No, he's just talking. He's just up there like, I don't know. But I think he's one of the funniest people around. And he's a must-follow on Twitter. If you don't follow him, he's a must-follow. But then I love Norm MacDonald because he had that, like, dry humor. And it was another, like, you have to really, like, listen to his jokes. But I think he's really funny. But a lot of people hated him. But I think Seth Meyers... Are we just going to talk everything but sports tonight? I don't know. We've been on the air for like 20 minutes, and our closest sports related story was a debate about a guy who's been retired for 50 years. Yeah. All right, let's get it. But let's transition. Before we got the NBA to get to, obviously NCAA tournament coming to a close. We got the Masters we got to get to. But I want to talk a little bit and transition over talking about best pitchers and great pitchers. Now, we're in an era now with a lot of really good pitchers. Look at Clayton Kershaw hasn't given up a run yet. Verlander's obviously very good. Strasburg is obviously very good. But there was a tweet that came out from Curt Schilling a couple of days ago that circulated around the internet where he said within 12 months, Matt Harvey is going to be in the same conversation as Verlander, Strasburg, and the rest. Now, as a Met fan, I'm a believer in that. Like, you watch this guy, and he is just super electric. He hasn't given a run yet this year. You look at his strikeouts. I mean, most strikeouts in Mets history through 12 starts, you got it up. You got Pedro with 104, Doc with 93. Harvey with 89, Nolan Ryan 88. I mean, that's a good company to be in. So what are your thoughts of Matt Harvey? He jumped onto the scene last year. Remember, he broke a record for the Mets for your first ever start. Rookie, I think he had 12 strikeouts, 14 strikeouts, something like that. And he just seems to be he could dial up that fastball to the upper 90s when he wants, but he could cruise with 95 if he just needs to.
He's just in command, and he knows how to – and, you know, this was – I forget who said it was. Maybe it was Bobby Ojeda. Maybe it was Curt Schilling, but – they were saying that it's not about throwing strikes. It was John Franco. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not about throwing strikes. It's about throwing balls that are close to strikes. Yeah. Getting the hitter to swing at balls that are not strikes.
I actually did hear that. And he said if you can't get people to swing at balls, you're not going to make it in the major leagues, is what he said. And he's like, he made a career out of it. And when you have lights out stuff where you can get away with throwing, I mean, he could make a mistake with a 98 mile an hour fastball and still get away with it.
Yeah.
But he still does it. I mean, you know, the 98 mile an hour fastball isn't enough.
Because
but it's a good weapon to have.
Because it's not a huge mistake. He's not missing by a lot. Whereas with Parnell, you know, the knock on him is, okay, he can dial it up to 100, but he's also throwing it straight.
And he's always behind.
Flat. Behind in the count, and it's right down Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, he has problems getting that slide. I mean, he's got a good breaking ball, Bobby Parnell, but he can never throw it over, so people just take it, and the next thing you know, it's 2-0.
But then, also, if he's on with his breaking ball, then he goes to the well a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
I remember that a couple times last year, where he would throw, I mean, like six consecutive sliders. You're like, well, this is the time just to dial it up and throw 100 there, Bobbo.
This is why you have it.
You got that bullet, brother. So, I mean, are we... Are we being crazy Met fans when we're like, this is the next Bill
Pulsifer? You can't ignore something like that. That's not three starts. That's not he got hot in August.
Yeah.
This is 12 starts. That's a legitimate sample size.
Yeah.
And look at the company he's in. Martinez, Gooden, Ryan.
Yeah.
And that was Ryan in the beginning of his career. So, I mean, I just hope he doesn't end up like Ryan on the Rangers.
Yeah. But, I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything more from a big-time prospect, and we've seen him for the last 15, 20 years from the Mets.
And if this is what we can expect from Zach Wheeler, hello, yeah. Division title.
That's what I'm saying. My boy Johnny Neese. You get this, you know.
Blue panties.
You got that. That was another great story we talked about last week with Jonathan Neese's beautiful young bride, who he met. Did you hear where they met?
No, Dave and Buster's.
No, she was a college student. He was rehabbing. He had, like, broken his leg or something. I don't remember him breaking it, but he had broken a leg. He had a cast all the way from his ankle all the way up to his hip.
Ooh.
And he was at a bonfire party on a college campus at the age of 25
That's
or whatever.
Exactly where you need to be.
Yes, he needs to find his way in blackout.
Yeah.
You wake up next to Jonathan
this
Neese.
This week, special guest star,
Jonathan Neese. You wake up, you're getting your nose job. you're, like, under the knife.
With Beltran making it rain over you.
He's just a special guest, Carlos Beltran. You don't know. So that's where they met. Yeah, so she's only like 22 or 23.
Yeah, she's 23.
Jackpot.
Yeah,
so good for Jonathan Neese. I'm telling you, like I said, then, you know, the Mets, they get up to the 4-2 start, and then, you know, they look awful at times, you know. I mean, they did not do a job. And we talked, I liked Markham Sion. Clearly, he's not ready to pitch yet, so it stinks. So now they're stuck with
Aaron Laffey.
Laffey and Hefner.
Laffey.
And neither of them are major league pitchers.
I didn't even know he existed.
No. Like, why isn't Chris Young, who they say is healthy, and now he's down at AAA?
Yeah.
Like, just let a guy pitch who's been in, like, had some success.
Yeah.
You know, there were guys out there.
I think, especially after what happened with Johan, that they are just so gun shy about sticking anyone out there on the mound that has any kind of resemblance of an injury at this point.
But so what? So then Chris Young gets hurt. And you're like, okay. Thanks, Chris, for being 6'10" and throwing 84. You made it. You know, I told you, I saw him on Greatest Fools in America. The guy's doing something well.
But what happened to, like, McHugh?
Yeah,
what
Kyle
happened
McHugh?
To Hefner?
Well, Hefner, he's back. He's in the rotation now, but he's not that good. But I don't know why Kyle McHugh wasn't the guy they went to. I think he's better than Hefner. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I and then, you know, even, you know, the familiar.
I think they're just dying for another lefty, to be honest. And Laffey provides that. But it's funny that he wears Tommy G's old number. And so now it's like, you want to talk about Mets hype? Table Matt Harvey for a second, and let's talk about everyone saying that Laffey is the next Tom Glavine because he's wearing 47.
Well,
and
he got
Laffey,
that going for him.
That throws 84.
Hey, he's got to be the next Tom Glavine.
Obviously.
Obviously he is. Yeah, I don't know. But so,
ignore the fact that Tom actually did once at some point in his career throw in the high 80s. And
look, Tom Glavine, Hall of Fame pitcher, but he made a living about guys. He was getting guys to swing and settle out of the zone. He was just getting fire to call strikes to the side. And it would show. I remember, you know, this is in the height of watching Baseball Tonight every night. They would show the catcher set up 4 inches outside, hit the glove, strike three.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair for doing that. I was like, what the hell's going on? But the only other thing, so like we said about that, there is definitely exciting to watch, which is all we could hope for. And if they could hang around 500, be exciting. You've got the guys like him. And I do want to point out that when you're out and with a guest there filling your shoes, former host of got called out on the phone for not delivering the goods, Kate Mara.
I had called dibs on there. Is that not clear?
Was that the same show?
No, this is when we were in the studio still.
But didn't he come though once?
Called dibs? Dibs expire at some point.
No, I think you called dibs on Kate Mara.
Yeah.
You got that.
Wow, okay.
So we're going to get her on the show at some point. And the guy, Danny, does exist. I did go to a Met game. Danny is her brother, who I have met. He's an awesome guy. His father is in the Giants organization, obviously, of the Mara family. His father does, like, scouting or something. But I went to a Met game with him. He's an awesome guy. Not a guy you would think that comes, I mean, it's worth. He doesn't have to work, I'm sure. But he works hard, and he's an awesome dude. But so he does exist. I will acknowledge that O does have a relationship with him.
Can I call
Dan? Really
O is not happy. I don't think O is going to be calling in tonight. I said.
What did I say? Just because I told him he was going to hook me up?
Yeah, you didn't believe the guy existed. You didn't think that he was friends with her. You called him out and said, you basically called him a liar.
Obviously, I knew that it was a joke. Obviously, I knew the guy existed. He went to games with him before. I know all that. He said it to
I'm just saying, but you didn't put that on the thing. If you were just to read that, you're like, that guy that used to be on the show is just a mix of lies.
Oh, well, I mean.
He's Manti Te'o. You mean you called him Manti Te'o. Oh, I'm friends with this guy. Don't try to find him online. But you didn't even think there was a Danny Mara.
Can I call dibs on Rooney Mara?
Yeah, she might be a little rough on edges for you. I don't know that you can handle that.
A little too much?
You can't handle Rooney Mara.
I'll get a tattoo or something.
What are you going to get a tattoo
I'll
of?
Get a tattoo of a girl with a dragon tattoo.
Boom. Hey, Rooney, I got this for you.
How meta is this for you?
But I will say, what I was trying to get to was when he was in studio and we were talking about the Mets and he makes fun of me for being this optimistic Met fan and I said, I really like the addition of John Buck. And he laughed out loud at me. I'm like, this guy's not the answer at catcher, but he's a huge upgrade over Josh Tolley. He's leading the National League in RBI.
Home run. He got four home runs, too.
Yeah, and like 15 RBI.
Yeah.
I said, he goes, we'll see. And I texted him. I'm like, are you going to call in to apologize? And he says, no. And I said, I don't think I've ever heard him say he was wrong in his life. But then he says, we'll see if it pans out. I'm like, even if he doesn't.
If he gets Josh 20 and 80, that's a huge upgrade.
And it like gives you that relief that like we don't have to rush up. Darno, if we don't want to. If Darno's killing it up there.
Or their Wrecker's a pretty handsome dude. I don't mind watching him on television.
Yeah, he's handsome. That's what I'm saying. Look, Josh Tolley, Mets fans loved him for whatever reason. I mean, he never did anything. He wasn't even a good catcher. But he put up numbers already. Josh Tolley wouldn't put those up in a month.
Yeah.
That he put up in a week. He didn't even have the ability to. Exactly what I said about John Buck. He's got pop. He's not going to hit over probably 250. But, I mean, what he's giving them right now is exactly – I mean, he's got 25 home run potential if you put him in the lineup all the time. And chopping bombs, big hits. Marlon Byrd is being exciting. They're an exciting team to watch. They're not any good, like, in the longevity-wise.
Well, that's why I'm not getting – I don't get too excited because it's like this is what they do. They go on these hot streaks and then they get super cold.
Right.
And they went cold pretty much the second half of the season last year. So, you know, and this is why I hate April baseball, because the Mets always play well in April. They're always in first place in April.
They have the best opening day record in the history of baseball. That's just how they do it.
But I want to see more consistency out of them. I don't want to see them crush, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but I want to see more consistency out of them. Something that lets me know, okay, hey, we're going to be playing good baseball the entire year, not like, whoa, isn't this surprising?
But I will tell you this, and they have collapsed, and for whatever reason – Terry Collins always gets this pass because he doesn't have any talent, but they clearly quit on him last year. I mean, they just packed up camp and just stopped playing baseball for him. I'm almost hoping they have a clutch because I think he's a terrible manager. I think he's horrible. I think he's horrible the way he handles the bullpen. I think he's terrible the way he handles. I mean, look at Jordani Valdespin in this great spring, and there was like, everybody was saying he's going to get a starting role, predominant role somewhere in the Mets lineup, and he's just non-existent. You don't even see him anymore. Now, I don't know whether he deserved it or not, and we got, you know, more Cal Gill, which everybody loves and all that, and Newen Heist is, you know, scored the game-winning run the other night, but, you know, it's just like he always wants to, he can't. They've had, in nine games, they've had like six different lineups.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you trying to outthink the room here, Terry?
Just put
a team out there. You know, there shouldn't be that many differences in your lineup every day. I don't know. I just disagree with that. And Girardi does it. Girardi does it more where it's just like a vastly different lineup when a righty and a lefty starts, and he's a big believer in that. But the right-handed lineup tends to stay relatively the same, and the left-handed lineup tends to stay relatively the same, whereas Terry Collins just pick it out of a hat. It's like, okay, this guy is batting leadoff now. Newen Heist, you have a 280 on base percentage? Well, you could bat leadoff. Why not? That's good, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're on base 28% of the time. Well, get out there, Kirky. See what you got. I don't know. So I hope he leads. I mean, I hated him from the moment they signed him. And my very first article was because I was a big Jerry Manuel fan. And I'm like, you know, they fire this guy. And I was like, they better do better, and they have not done any better record-wise. And Jerry Manuel had all those injuries and all those problems, and he was able to produce 79, 80 wins in a down year, and they can't sniff that with Terry Collins.
Well, my take on Terry is that maybe they see him as the kind of guy that can get the most out of what he's given.
But he didn't last year.
what did we expect them to do last year, though?
Well, if you don't expect them to...
If they didn't get off to that crazy start, what the expectation before the season was right about where they ended up, right?
Yeah, so they didn't get the crazy start, and they... I mean, you can't have a team be 8 games over 500 in July and finish... They had 74 wins, so then they were 8 games under 500.
Where do you credit him and where do you blame him? Because it's like, do you credit him for the first half or do you blame him for the second half?
I blame both. I blame him for the second half, and here's why. You look at the season that the Orioles had last year, where they came – it got started the year before where they had that great September. Remember the Orioles under Buck Showalter? They had a bad start, but then they turned it around, and they were beating the Yankees, and they were beating the Sox, and the Sox are still relevant. And they were beating the Rays. This is in 2011, and it was like it gave them some momentum going into 2012, and they carried it over. You can't, to me, what you do, like you said, what you do in April and May is there's no way to carry that over. It's the bad taste that August and September left, and the end of July that you can't get out of here. So to me, that's what it's all about. If you're going to get a young team that playing in September, where a lot of the older teams either pack it in, the older bad teams pack up shop. Or the teams that are in the playoffs are positioning themselves for whatever they got to do. And so you got to be winning games there in September if you're a young, hungry team. And they weren't. They packed up shop. So that's why. I mean, I don't give them any credit for the early success.
All right.
No. Not the best color man in sports for another man.
Dynamite drop in, Mom.
Bing! That's a hell of a segue.
Well, you know, that's your opinion.
I guess that's
you
just,
right.
Your opinion.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't know. I'm still extremely excited about what we're seeing from Harvey. Like I said, Buck is going to be a nice bridge to Darno. You'd like to see Ike Davis put together some better at-bats, but... That is, you know, because you got to, if you're going to move forward, you need to have that infield secured. And Tejada having 4 errors already is insane. Because the one thing you have a guy that's going to hit 270, 280 with no power and no speed. He better be a really good shortstop.
Yeah.
And he's playing just horribly right now and cost him a game already and led to a lot of unearned runs. So you got to really shore that infield's got to be your infield going forward unless they want to dump a ton of money on Robinson Cano next year. Right, maybe they are.
Yeah, I mean, money is, money is...
It's the root of all evil, Neil. that's not what you're going to say. That sounds like another pilot, though.
I think we should just the Mets should just print their own money.
Yeah.
Start printing money.
Yeah, they got to go back to what got them there, illegal things.
Illegal.
I mean, they're trying it.
Gun trafficking, drug smuggling.
They got to get involved in some overseas stuff
shady.
That Uncle Sam don't need to know about.
Yeah.
Barack don't need to see
it's
that
called
our book.
Offshore bank account.
Yeah. Let's get Mitster on the team.
Yeah, consultant?
Just get Bain Capital on there.
Yeah.
And they will have Robinson Cano, Jacoby Osbury. Oh, yeah, they'll be stacked next year. So the baseball is off full swing here. It's exciting. I'm super excited. It's a fun time of year. I mean, we also had the NCAA tournament.
Do you want to talk the Yankees at all?
What do you want to talk about? They're great now. Oh, they're fantastic. They beat up on the Indians. They're back. I'm just going to have all these home runs. They're back.
Well, I was going to say, I'll just make one note and then we can move on. But the fact that a lot of people were questioning Brian Cashman and the moves that he made.
Or the fact that he's... repels down buildings in Stanford, Connecticut. He's got a lot of things you can question about.
Yeah.
Did he get hurt doing that too?
He got hurt jumping out of an airplane because then the guy from the Army was like, let's do it again. He's like, all right. And the second time he broke his leg. He was caught up in the moment.
What you do it once, that's enough.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
All right, there, Brian. All right, I'm sorry. What were you saying? I'm sure you were going to break it down. Play the meet the mess thing. Now, what do you got?
No, I was just going to say, I was watching the game against the Tigers over the weekend, and you know, the addition of Vernon Wells and even to a certain extent, Brennan Bosch. I mean, you look at Brennan Bosch, he's a young guy, he's in his mid-20s.
They were expecting huge things out of him last year, and he failed, but that doesn't mean his career's over.
But it wasn't like I looked at his numbers, it wasn't a tremendous failure. I mean, he definitely took a step back.
Yeah, but he didn't hit 150. He wasn't like Adam Dunn from a few years ago. Actually,
right.
It was a disappointment.
But I think those two names kind of flew. I mean, the Vernon Wells got a lot more press than...
But people laughed at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That Cashman got knocked for it, and after seeing them play, and obviously they're not playoff material or playoff caliber at this point, but they're definitely playing above my expectations.
How about Pronk the other day against his former team? I mean, he's got 2 home runs already. You know, he's hitting like 400.
Yeah.
You know, for that role. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, everybody just thinks that the Yankees, print money themselves and then go out and get it, but it doesn't mean there's people out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing was, okay, we're going to go out and get Justin Morneau. Except that the Twins never said, like, that's just the Yankee fan mentality. Like, yeah, let's go out and get Justin Morneau. You can't just call up the Twins and be like, hey, you know your best player?
Give him to me.
We want him.
Yeah.
We're not going to pay much for him. We just want him. So it's not like you could just do that. There wasn't a huge market at that time to plug that hole. So, you know, let's wish go. Money he went, you know, the money that they gave him, I think he's worth $56 million. Mm-hmm. He is a great regular season outfielder for the ADM. I mean, he's a great above average corner outfielder before they placed him for base. Been a great asset. They hit, you know, $56 million. It's crazy. And now all of a sudden, Yankee fans are crying the blues about Russell Martin. We got 210. I mean, let's be honest here, you fans. You throw away, you know, Thurman Munson here.
Yeah.
You go to the Pirates. I don't think he's sitting on the roll over there. So, is that enough Yankee talk?
Well, just to say that them actually compete. You know, I mean, they're in shambles. And for them to compete and stay in games, and I think they Verlander, right?
They did. That was a game that CC bounced back from a horrible opening start and pitched fantastic. It's one of the best lineups in baseball through a gym in that game. I'm not a big believer in Yankee staff, believer in Kuroda. No, it was a pitch tonight, although I hear we're getting rain. I don't know if the game started on time or not, or whether the game's even making.
Verlander, they beat up on Verlander because he was heartbroken. You know, Kate Upton is now banging P. Diddy.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure that had something to do with
She
know.
Is not dating P. Diddy.
That's what they say. Combs. That's what they say.
Puff.
They both
Puff.
Deny it, of course. I mean, somebody says they have pictures where they were in a club kissing, weren't hiding it or anything.
Kate Upton is not dating anyone. No. She is straight banging guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, she's not even 21.
She's got to be 21.
She's not 21 yet.
Come on, really?
I swear to...
I wouldn't swear on that. She's got to be 21. She was in Sports Illustrated like 5 years ago.
Oh,
no?
She's 20.
She was a child of the 90s?
She's going to turn 21 in June. In June.
You're telling me Kevin was born in 1993.
Siri.
No, this ain't Siri. Because
okay,
he's got...
It's not Siri.
Let's see.
She's still recording us, though.
You know what? As we're talking, my wife is walking in.
Can't
how old is Kate Upton, Erica? Do you have any idea how old a woman Kate Upton is? 1992. She was born. She's only just a mere 20 years old.
Wow. She's a hair of 21.
20 years young.
Really?
And but what else comes up? Kate Upton and Diddy. We're not dating.
Yeah.
No, they're not,
they're not
dating.
Dating.
They're not dating. They're just hooking up.
Oh, of course not. Oh, yeah, they're not dating.
Well,
right.
Maybe they like to. You said last week you really like, you enjoy kissing. Maybe they just like.
I love kissing.
I know you do.
If Kate Upton wanted to kiss me.
Maybe she just.
For the rest of her life and said, you know, no relations.
That's different.
None of that home plate stuff. First base. Rest of your life, I'd be like, sold.
Sign you up?
Sold.
That would get old and.
She could dance the cat daddy in front of me for a year, I wish.
I'll wait till everything starts to sag, and then I'll be like, you still want to hold the deal?
Hey, I'm in.
You want to break the deal?
You ain't going to outlast me. I find that fascinating. Yeah, that whole
I'll
thing.
I'll sign the dotted line tonight.
Definitely bang it.
Okay, well, there you have it. So he's heartbroken. I agree.
I couldn't even bring myself to write an article about it today. I was like, it can't be happening right now.
That can't be right.
And I love how it's on all the major sports sites and sports blogs.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing. It's True Sports Illustrated. That's a magazine. That's like not even.
And P. Diddy knows Jay-Z, who used to own part of the Nets. So they
got the Nets, yeah.
Yeah. He has now given up his partial ownership. Did you see that?
By the way, do you want to talk about his ownership, by the way?
I was going to bring that up because I don't think we hit it on last week at all, did we?
No, well, his agency?
Yeah.
I don't think we. I think we talked briefly about, yeah.
So it's 1%, but now they're saying it's actually 1/15 of 1%.
It wasn't a lot, but
like,
yeah. 350 large. Now, are they going to take the Hove jerseys out of the rafters? I told you, when you go to the game, there's rafters that you see Drazen Petrovic, Julius Erving, and you see a banner hanging for Jay-Z because he sold out the first 7 days of the new arena. Like, are they going to change that? I mean, that whole...
Supposedly, he's still going to get all the perks.
But I guess because he's an agent now, technically, he can't own a team. I don't think you're allowed
to.
No,
not NBA team. Because
yeah,
he represents NBA players.
Yeah.
Because he could have repped Victor Cruz, NFL, and he could have repped Robbie Cano, MLB, because he was an NBA owner and not MLB or NFL owner.
Oh, but he can't do basketball.
He can't do basketball.
And now that he's getting out of the Nets ownership,
he can now do it all. Now, Tone, where do you rank Jay-Z all-time rapper?
All-time?
All-time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a bigger rap fan than me. I was a big rap fan in the 90s, so most of my list is going to, you know, based around the 90s. I'm not a guy that's going to put any of the guys from the 80s. I don't want to hear about Slick Rick.
No,
I don't want to hear about Grandmaster Flash.
They're all good.
All influential, and I agree that, you know, that's...
So no Run DMC.
Not even the Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys, I could see putting them in there because they evolved and they, you know, they were able to be...
Not N.W.A.
You could listen to Beastie Boys songs now and be like, that's still a good song.
So not N.W.A. Not Sugar Hill Gang.
But I would say...
Sugar Hill Gang.
I wouldn't say Sugar Hill Gang. N.W.A., that was late 80s. They were. I don't consider them 80s. I think of 80s rap as a cheesy, like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Fat Boys is 80s rap. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Oh, back. So where are you ranking them?
Overall?
I mean, are you guys putting Tupac ahead of him? I'm not.
Absolutely.
Big is ahead of him.
The thing is...
Big is Sandy Koufax. He only had the two albums.
The best thing that could have ever happened to Jay-Z was him dying.
Yeah.
It was
the
only thing.
Clearly, but I'm the P. Diddy. Had Big not died, he's not making out with Kate Upton.
Yeah, this is true. But, I mean, I would have to put him...
Wale?
That's
my boy.
He would have to be... He has, you know, double the amount of material, but he's still not as good as
Big.
As B.I.G., yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd have to put him two.
Group? If you would go group, would you go Wu? Do they run away with it?
No.
I think Wu runs away with it.
No.
Who do you have?
Outkast,
okay.
Outkast, I would have to put.
But you have to get rid of, I guess you can't really get rid of all, I mean. Alright, I would still put.
If you really call them a group, two of them, I guess.
It's a group.
Yeah, so I would probably, group, I would have to go Outkast.
Then Macklemore. Oh, God, I hate that dude.
Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, Tribe was good.
You know,
I saw them open for Beastie Boys, and they were unbelievable live.
Yeah, as a group, I had to lean towards Outkast, even though I know they haven't done a thing in years for some strange reason. But
no, we got their hands in a lot of things.
Wu had a couple classic albums.
Oh my God, dude! Wu-Tang and Norwalk in the mid '90s was everything. Neil, you go to any football locker room, that's all you would listen to.
Yeah.
Now, was it Big where you were growing up?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like everything. Like it was.
Yeah, Triumph came out in the senior year, I think it was, and we were just like on loop.
Yeah, ours was like Raekwon and Liquid Swords from GZA came out like early, like right freshman sophomore year.
Purple Tapes.
Oh yeah.
If
I put Liquid Swords up with any rap album of all time.
100%, not even a question. Wu-Tang, remember back the day Triumph came out? It was a double CD.
Yeah.
You could put it in your computer. And it had this interactive...
I don't think I had a computer in 98. I'll be dead honest with you. I definitely didn't have a computer in college.
It was like on my old school compact. Like, it was all...
My old...
Like,
you didn't have a computer in college?
I did. I went all 4 years without a computer in college.
That's impressive.
I swear to God. I didn't have a computer in college. I'd go do all my home... I lived in a frat house. So it was like I was doing papers. I went to the computer lab.
How'd you watch, like, adult entertainment?
We didn't. I didn't watch any adult entertainment on a computer until well after college. So we definitely didn't. Man, I had three other roommates.
So you just go on their computer?
Well, no, we did have. I swear to you, I would tell you the truth. I didn't. The only thing we had the computer for is I remember we download music. Like we had Napster.
Hey, can we have real talk? Tell your parents to just earmuff it for real quick.
My dad will confirm I didn't have a computer, and I would do all my papers at the computer lab, and we went to the Johns Hopkins where everybody had a computer, and it was just me. I'd like know the little guard there, and like, hey, Mike, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'd go in there and just do my papers, pack a lip, and get my work done. It was awesome.
That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, you could get stuff done.
Yeah.
I was extremely productive in that computer lab.
Yeah.
I'd pick different computers. I'd have stuff saved on there because nobody else would use it.
You do, like, music
I had my
computer.
Own folder. I mean, nobody was on them.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, yeah. So I didn't have a computer. So I didn't know that. So what happened? So you could get a double CD.
Yeah.
You could pop it in your computer.
And it was like brought you to like what I believe was like a mansion or something like that. Had all these different rooms that you could go in and had to eat.
36 chambers.
Yeah, each of the characters, each of the members of the group were in there.
You got what was on there?
Yeah, everybody.
Golden Arms.
It was awesome.
ODB was probably in the dumpster out back though.
Yeah, ODB got rid of
his welfare.
But I mean, even like you know, he became like the most commercialized of all of them, and you know. Now I'm not a huge fan of Method Man, but early Wu, Method Man was, there was nobody better.
Yeah.
He was like a new type voice. on there, you know, they were just so good, you know. You put a Wu song up there, didn't you? You put it with Mary J. Blige.
Yeah,
the,
I put a Raekwon song up today. That
oh, did you?
That's off of
The Chef.
Just came out. That is insane. It sounds just like 90s music.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, see, that's why. How could you not put them number one? I'm not turning the tides here. They were good.
They were good. I just, I don't know, I feel like Outkast was a little more consistent. You know, Wu had the first two albums were insane, and then they kind of, you know, tapered off a little bit, in my opinion. And then, but you had Outkast, who has, you know, three or four CDs that are insane, and then they just came with a double CD that was like half Andre 3000, half Big Boy. I mean, it was
all right. You know, we could agree to disagree. But I Hovind.
Wu-Tang got me through high school.
Got me through some dark times.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was a 145-pound quarterback and made me feel like I'm not going to get hurt. I got Redman and Method Man telling me what to do. Redman wasn't even in it, but him and Met put all those tapes together.
How high?
Yeah, movie.
That was a great movie.
I remember, just last point about 90s rap, we sound just like a bunch of old guys talking about rap, but I remember the Cribs show, one of the first people they went was Redman's house. This dude lived in a, do you ever see this? He lived in a row house. There was just garbage everywhere. There was like cracked tiles in his kitchen. This guy is definitely worth like $20 million.
I saw that back in the day and I could never like figure out if it was real.
He was like, this is my house. And it was just like a brownstone apartment. Like, and he just walks in. He's got like Nintendo 64 set, all these video games.
His refrigerator's empty.
He opens it up. There's nothing in there. There's just like cracked tiles. He's like, this is awesome.
I remember that.
Oh.
That actually made me want to be a rapper.
Redman.
Yeah, I was like, if you know, Red's keeping it real, like I can keep it real.
This is exactly how I live right now.
I just need to get pen to paper, and then things are gonna take off.
When you're gonna do a Cribs about us after Blackout blows up, and you're still gonna be living in Hoboken in some little.
Look how he kept his money.
You gotta, look, that's his place, dude. And this is when he's like at the top of his game. We got to find that whole clip and put that on the website because that was the best Cribs thing ever. And this is at a time when they'd have, like, you know, Master P, and he'd have all this crazy stuff. And his son, Lil Romeo, was riding around on a little, you know, jetway. And then Redman, and that's where he lives.
So, you know what? I was just thinking, we kind of tapered off to it, but what do you think about the whole Jay-Z and then sports management thing? Think it's a good idea that these guys are moving
on? They were talking about it today on ESPN Radio. I think it's a tremendously smart move because I didn't really see him buying too much more a percentage of the Nets. Like, you know, dude's a Russian billionaire. Like, there's no way he was going to gain control of them to the point where he would make a difference. I mean, he's already influenced them so much.
Yeah.
And they've already said that they're going to have an amicable relationship moving forward. He can make a much bigger difference as an agent.
Yeah. I agree with you. Now, I think, was it Master P that was Ricky Williams' agent? And it was terrible. Yeah. And, like, Ricky Williams' mom was on, like, if it had not been for that, we'd still have money. Like, it was just a terrible, like, incentive-laden contract for a guy who they traded away, like, their whole draft for. But the difference is, and Master P, obviously, is a great businessman himself.
Yeah.
And Master P put out one song and then produced a million of them and then he's worth $100 billion. But Jay-Z is the businessman to beat all businessmen. So when you're looking at an agent, I mean, this guy understands contracts. He's smart enough to do that. He's smart enough to know how to leverage a person and market them because he's done it with himself and a whole bunch of different things. So I think his talents do translate into being a good agent.
Absolutely.
So I agree with it. I think it's good. And I don't think it's just like Jay-Z thinking he can do everything. Yeah. I actually think it's a logical step for him.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's clearly smart. He's clearly got a lot.
He made a lot of money off his 0.15%, I'm sure, from what he did and was able to leverage there.
And it's not like he's directly representing these guys right now. You know, they're partnered with this, you know, one of the biggest talent agencies in the world. I mean, he's going to learn and he's going to...
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to be Scott Boras.
No.
But he could, you know, he'll oversee the whole thing. And he's obviously the contacts in all kinds of industries.
Well, he will bring people to New York.
Are you kidding me? I mean, he is definitely, I think, going to be successful in this venture for sure. So I think it's a good move. And it's not like a just, you know, he's a celebrity just trying to throw his weight around. I think it's a perfect fit for him, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I mean, look what he did even with Beyonce. Beyonce was good, but she had this, like, little young girl, like, good girl image with Destiny's Child. And now she's a completely, how much more marketable is she now since she started, since she married him and he kind of took over the direction of her career?
The guy hasn't made a wrong move yet.
Ever.
Yeah. So,
since
he
was dealing rocks out of Marcy.
Yeah. So,
funding his own label.
I can't go against him now.
Yeah, I do think it's a good move. But I would like to know at some point, I'd like to see your top five rap artists. I want you to give it some thought.
I will. I do.
Because we've debated. It actually has been on our site before. We talked about, because I had posed the question. You know, I still think I'm the biggest Pearl Jam fan there is. So I think that station is the best station on XM. And I said, could there be a rap personality or group that could carry its own station and just play their music? Clearly, Big couldn't do it because he didn't have enough.
Yeah.
Didn't have a big enough, you know, album, you know, list. But can Jay-Z do it? Could Eminem do it? That's different than being the best. I mean, could Wu-Tang do it? I think they probably could.
Yeah.
Could Outkast do it? If you
That's
go with like, you know, Big Boy, it's a good question to see like who could. I mean, like the Shade 45, they don't play a lot of Eminem. They're just a rap station that has his name. So it's not like the Pearl Jam or E Street Radio that just plays Bruce Springsteen.
That's a good question.
So it's kind of a two-part question.
Yeah.
I want to see your top five rap artists, top five rap groups.
Yeah.
And then I want to see who you think could carry its own channel with just their music, just their catalog.
I will do this.
You're on that. I think you'd be good at
absolutely.
That. So we are probably the old 80-20 rule. We're 80% non-sports, 20% sports right now.
That Jay-Z is sports, bro.
He is sports.
Yeah.
He is sports.
You're gonna see the Jay-Z-L next year.
I mean, David Stern's retiring. He might give it back and just take over as commish. That'd be it. And Mark Cuban won't have the league.
That league will end up like N1 or something like that.
It'll be marketable.
Slam ball.
It will be, too.
Trampolines everywhere.
It'll be Lob City in every city. It'll be Lob America.
Yeah, Lob America.
But let's get to the NCAA tournament. Now, we talked about how into the Final Four we were going to be, and we kind of were like, I don't know, I'm rooting for Wichita State because it's the underdog. I like the Michigan getting back for the first time in 20 years, you know, the Big East, you know, possibility kind of there, you know, with the Syracuse and Louisville. I don't know how into I'm going to be. It was a great Final Four game. The Wichita State game was fantastic. They played as well as anyone could have expected. I had every chance to win that game.
Yeah, they were up by like 13 at one point, right?
Yeah. I mean, they had every chance to win that game. And then you get the finals, which I went into it, honestly, it's rare. I really couldn't decide who I wanted to take. I wound up taking the under. It was 130.5, and my whole thought process, I thought I outthought Vegas. I'm like, look, taking the under here. They play in these arenas, and they can't shoot because the depth perception. You look at the UConn-Butler game I was talking about to you off air, and then they come out, and I don't think they missed a shot for the first 30 minutes of that game. I mean, these dudes were just pulling up from anywhere.
Anywhere.
Making it, dunks, everything. I mean, it was just – I mean, 8 minutes into the game.
It was like
– I checked it. Oh, and said, well, I lost that day.
It was like Rock and Jock basketball where they have like the little hot spots on the court where you can get extra points.
Yeah.
And they just pull up there.
And they're like, yeah, I'm going to just pull up
and
from here.
Fire away.
So, but the way that game started with this kid, Spike, his last name?
Albrecht.
So he's a freshman, 5'11", guard. He was averaging, I think it was under 2 points a game for the season. He hadn't missed. In the entire tournament, although his amount of shots was limited, but he came in and he made like his first 7 shots. He was 4-for-3 in the first half. He's just pulling up from everywhere. Then he was driving to the hole. I mean, that was just it was one of the more exciting for me like non-UConn finals that I could ever remember. And I know they've been great. I mean, obviously we're too young to remember the Valvano game and all that from the early 80s. But like in my lifetime watching NCAA. That was one of the few times where it was like you couldn't turn that TV off. And I did not go into that game thinking, I'm in a hotel room up in Providence, like, I'm going to watch this game. I had a 6-pack of beer. I mean, I'll watch it, but
yeah.
You couldn't turn it off, dude. And halftime, I just couldn't wait for halftime to be over because you just wanted to get going
again. Because you were looking at Charles Barkley the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Although I will tell you, not all of those commercials he's in Dallas Cowboys are funny, but the one where he's out and he's analyzing like the little kid playing.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't know what Julio's doing, whatever the kid's name was. And it's just this fat kid staring at him.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's 1-for-35. He goes, he can't keep taking these low percentage shots. And the kid kicks the ball down the driveway. That's a funny shot. That's a funny commercial.
Yeah.
But but I agree with you. You could take him in small doses, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he is funny at times, but small doses.
But yeah, the tempo. I mean, it never slowed down. It was consistent the whole time, and it was. It's fun to watch.
And I think it was genuine. They showed halftime, and they were showing the coach from Michigan, and he was like, you know, even though they had blown that lead, and he's just like, look, he was like telling his team, like, you're in a great game. This is like, they knew right away this is an all-time great game. It was just shaping up to be that way, and it was just, as exciting as you could have been. I mean, you know,
I'm not a Louisville fan, obviously, being a UConn fan, but part of me is like, should I have this allegiance to the Big East? So I'm not like, I don't hate the fact that they won,
yeah.
but I found myself throughout the course of that game really rooting for Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Really hard for
oh,
Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think if you weren't a Louisville fan, you kind of had to. The way it was playing out with your excitement and all that.
Yeah.
Even with the, you know, the kid on the sideline, and it's cool how they're like down below because the floor is elevated. And
what is the point of that?
Why I tell it? I don't know. Maybe the ground isn't flat enough. I think that, like, football fields, they're kind of bowed a little bit for drainage purposes. Typically, they're a little bowed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they can get a flat floor on there. So I think that's why they're elevated. That's my
gotcha.
I am in the construction industry. That's that's my guess.
That's
I don't know.
Guess.
Schematics.
Yeah, okay. I got to get the level out. I don't know exactly.
Show me the blueprints.
Well, exactly what it is. But that's my guess on it. But, yeah, so they're loading it, you know. But, you know, the whole thing, it was just a great game. I couldn't get enough of it. Now, I mean, did you watch it?
I did.
Whistle the whistle?
I did. I had a half an eye on it because I'm like addicted to my computer. I'm just like we're attached to the hip.
You're just looking at you're on like some make out site.
Yeah, it's like yeah.
make out with me. Dot.
I found a new tongue trick. yeah. No, but I had an eye on it and I thought Michigan was running away with it. So
yeah.
I was like, here comes another blowout final and it's not
Louisville all tournament long though they were
yeah.
coming back.
Yeah. So I should have known better that it was gonna come out being competitive, but I kind of dug like Luke Hancock going off,
yeah,
and then being like, ooh.
I like a good beard,
yeah,
and he was pulling up from wherever. Also,
you had everything. Although that Peyton Silva,
to me, Peyton Silva was so excited, like, and I can't believe
yeah.
that he didn't win the player of the game. And granted, that guy didn't miss, but to me, the player of the game watching that game was Peyton Silva. He
yeah.
was just unstoppable.
Yeah.
And just all we had like 4 steals, 5 assists, 18 points. You know, had the free throw to ice it at the end, that 1-on-1 where they're only up 4 and like completely iced the game. I thought he was by far the player of the game. I don't care what shooting percentage Hancock had. In my opinion, I don't know. What did you think? Well, I was super impressed by Payne.
He's very good. You know, he's like a 6-year.
Yeah, yeah. He's older than us.
He's
if he was dating Kate Upton, it'd be weird. It'd be creepy.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how old he is. Although, did you see his controversy?
Oh, with the girl.
With the girl on the
That's what you get for messing with, you know,
on Twitter. And he could, and he had a shirt on that was like, save. What's the guy that broke his leg?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kevin Ware.
Yeah, he had like a save Kevin Ware shirt on, so it was like clearly was this week.
Yeah.
And it happened, and he's tweeting all these things, and this horrible person of a woman. You know, blows
Jenna
up his
Shea.
Butt. Jenna Shea, horrible human being.
She's
but then,
not. She's awful looking.
Yeah, yeah, she's not attractive.
Like, what is happening?
I don't know.
Did you
I mean, let's stop. I mean, Pink Steven is not a hugely handsome fellow.
James Harden paid
her
$20,000 to hang
out. Forehead hair.
Do you know that?
What?
James Harden paid her $20,000, flew her and her friends out to hang out with him. And then she took pictures of all the money and put it on.
Yeah, I remember that. They mentioned in the article that I read about. I didn't see that. But, yeah, she's a horrible person. But, yeah, he... I'm sure this was probably in Say What or Days, and we're going to jump to this early, but yeah.
Nah, just talk about it now.
Just talk about it. Yeah.
What she was upset about was the fact that he's claiming he has a girlfriend and not.
And so what, she thought it was exclusive, this thing that they had? She was offended by it? I mean,
you'd be surprised, dude. There are like porn stars out there who get upset if you cheat on them. I should know.
You should know. You just try to make out with them.
Personal experience.
Yeah, all you're doing is making out with them.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Yeah, I
think I actually profiled her on the site I used to work for.
Oof,
I can't speak ill of.
I mean, yeah, she's a former client.
Yeah.
So I agree with that there. But I thought, he was super impressive. And, you know, looking at this game, I texted Paco Fabian, who's been on the show a lot, was a big Michigan fan. And I said, well, you know, how is Trey Burke going to translate into the NBA? Because obviously he's got range. From anywhere also, but he's 6 feet tall. He's not, he's not a traditional point guard as far as his, like, you know, ball handling or, you know, distribution skills. So does he run the risk of being a Jimmer Fredette? And I think that might be overblowing. I think he's going to be better than Jimmer Fredette. But, I mean, I've seen projections, mock drafts, where he goes anywhere from 3 to 10. Is he a guy that, you know, you think he's going to step in and be a big-time player, or is he a six man? I think he's more of a six man. He might be able to come off the bench and be a – I think at best he's a Ben Gordon, which would be great. I mean, look, if he's a Ben Gordon, that's great, and you would draft him in the top 10 if you can get that kind of production out of him. I just worry about it. I don't know. It's always hard to tell for me in any sport how people are going to – how their games are going to translate. I thought Andre Drummond
was atrocious for UConn, and he's getting 10 rebounds a game for Detroit. So what the hell do I know? But I don't know. So I wonder, out of the people that we watched in this finals, I mean, which of these guys are really going to make impacts? And I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know where he pans out, whether he's even on people's draft boards. But you look at a guy like that, it's like a traditional point guard. He could clearly jump. I mean, that alley-oop that he caught and dunked.
Yeah.
And he's not 5'10". I don't care what he's – I don't know what he's listed at, but he's a little dude. I mean, he's got explosiveness. He could defend. I mean, he even had a couple bad foul calls where he had clean strips of the ball. I think that this guy could be a legitimate, you know, backup point guard in this league for years. I think he could be a real true point guard.
Absolutely. I agree.
I haven't seen him being, like, you know, somebody that's – on draft boards, I don't know. I could be completely off on that. But anybody else that you saw in that game, Neil, that you think, like, this guy's game is going to translate to the NBA?
That girl's thick, by the way. Is that her?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's her.
Yeah,
it's her.
So thick. Her.
Like, I like thick. I like meat. But there's a line.
Face is terrible.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a face person. I am.
Really. I'm a face guy, too. I know you don't believe me, but you could be a table fox, and I'll still be down. Do you know what table fox?
I've been out of the game a long time, Neil.
And neither do I. I don't know
what a table. That's got Hoboken written all over it.
If a girl's sitting at a table and from the table up, she looks fantastic. And then she stands up and gets from behind the table, and she's like, blood hell.
And you don't care about that.
Oh no, I mean, like, I'll deal with it. Like, it'll be fine. I'll deal with it.
You'll make amends in your mind. I don't know why we're still talking about that girl. Can we stop talking about her? She's not attractive.
Okay, so
she's a bad person.
Trey Burke was the guy who was most exciting to me, and I know he didn't really play up to everyone's expectations in the final game, but...
But he came out early.
Dude was launching. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like that where he was pulling up from anywhere.
Yeah.
And hitting shots against Kansas. I mean, those were like ballsy shots.
Yeah, that far surpasses NBA threes.
Yeah. And he just kept doing it. That wasn't like a one-time thing, the shot clock's running out. No, this is like he was doing it repeatedly.
Yeah.
With a lot of confidence. And so I like that. The fact that he can shoot, he's a shooter. Maybe he doesn't drive to the hoop like he should like a lot of NBA scouts would like him to. I mean, McGarry was impressive. I don't think the Michigan's in the finals without McGarry.
Yeah, I agree with you there, yeah.
I don't know how far he'll get drafted. He'll probably get drafted. He won't be a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably, you know, he'll be on a team. I don't know that he'll excel, but he showed a lot to me. You know, I think those were just examples of two teams.
Yeah.
You know, we always like to highlight individuals and put the spotlight on individuals and, like, who's going to be the next NBA star. These were just two solid teams that played well together.
So is Michigan back? Like, with this newer coach in there, they had at times they had five freshmen on the floor in the finals. I mean, are they back now to where they were? And like I said, I always think of them being a better program than they really are.
I don't think you're looking at a dynasty, but I think you're looking at a resurgence.
Yeah, I mean, they're Big Ten. You know, contender every year for the next, you know, for under this guy's tenure for the next. I mean, you look at cycles of 5 years. I mean, not necessarily this unit, but now does this thrust them in? Like, now again, people want to go play at Michigan.
Yeah.
And as much as they want to go play at, you know, North Carolina or Duke or someplace like that.
And it's almost like Fab Five 2, you know, in that they had it Hardaway and they had who was the other guy? It was like a son. They had Hardaway and
they had, it was Richmond. Wasn't that Richmond the third?
Glenn Robinson.
Glenn Robinson the third, yeah. Glenn Robinson the third, yeah. I agree. It was exciting. It was as exciting of a game as I could have hoped for going into the finals. And the whole Final Four weekend was good. So, I didn't win any money in my pool.
I just wish that, why can't they schedule the national title game on a Saturday? Why? Why can that never happen?
It's all about school, man. These kids got to go to class.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I agree with you. Putting it on
that. It loses its luster on, like, same with the national title in the college football. They always have it on, like, a Monday or a Tuesday.
Well, yeah, they don't want to ever compete with any NFL, but they could put it on a Saturday.
They could put it on a Saturday.
I think they should play the Super Bowl on a Saturday. They all have that full week off. I don't know why they don't play on a Saturday. I guess they figure our ratings are so good anyway.
Yeah.
What does it matter? But as a fan, how much better would it be if it was on a Saturday? And there's no reason it's not on a Saturday. There's absolutely no reason. You're not competing against the NCAA. There's none of those kind of things because it's over. Like, there's no reason why we all have to get up for work the next day.
Yeah.
Don't worry. This year's going to be a blizzard.
They're
going to have to work.
I know. And it's
for snow.
That'll be, and the Jets will make the Super Bowl, and then they got to battle the elements. It's only a Jets fan. But did you watch any of the UConn game last night?
No.
Hi.
My daughter just came in and said hello. And she's like, oh, I like. Hi, my little daughter. She's fired up.
I need footy pajamas like that.
Yeah, the footies are where it's at.
I got a buddy who went to Hopkins. He's 6'6", and he has footy pajamas.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know where he got them, but I got to look into it.
Yeah, he found a guy.
He's got his own footy guy.
So did you watch any of the UConn UConn girls last night? I mean, it was over before it started. I mean,
there was this
Cinderella story of Louisville, and they could be the only other team that's won men's and women's in the same year was UConn. And so, you know, there was that element. You had the 5 seed. They had gone through Baylor. We talked about future NBA star Brittany Griner last week.
Yeah.
They went through there, you know, and so there was this hope that they were going to be the Cinderella story. But the season was over. You know, the game was over right when it started. And so, you know, the question is, and I was watching even after the game, they had the analysts on, the WNBA analysts, and they were like, what was so great about it is we're starting to see the girls' basketball expand where there's new teams in it. It's not all Tennessee, UConn, Stanford, you know, which is
Rutgers.
All fine and good. Yeah, Rutgers. So it's all fine and good, but, I mean, at the end of the day, UConn's got 8 championships under Gino Auriemma. And I think that's all, as impressive a stat that is, to me it's like, and this is not to denigrate lacrosse at all, but you win a lot of national championships in lacrosse because really you're competing against 20 schools that have a chance of winning in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and the same thing with girls basketball, because there's really only, going into the season, 15 teams at most that have any chance of being powerhouses. Now, whether this season, and now you're starting to see, you know, obviously Baylor, whether that was all just about Brittany Griner, we'll see. Delaware had a really good team.
Yeah, because that other girl
transferred to Delaware. And so, you know, you see Notre Dame, they've got that one really good, you know, good-looking girl that we talked about last week. I don't know. I don't know that you really need that, though. I don't think, to me, women's basketball needs to have a David and Goliath thing. So you never want to. I think parity for girls basketball would be bad. I think it's good to have the powerhouses, and if a team like Louisville comes up, that's entertaining to watch.
Yeah, because
but just
you
to
didn't
see
have
two random schools, I don't see SMU and
yeah. If you didn't have, like, I don't think anyone would be talking about women's basketball if it weren't for UConn's historic streak and their dominance.
And you look at, you know, Taurasi and Lobo and these people that, you know, like you need those type of things. You need these, like, dynasty-type teams because the reason you follow it is how many games in a row is UConn going to win? And if a team does beat them, it's a huge event. If you got a bunch of teams that are 25-10, you're like, okay, cool. There's a lot of parity, but a regular sports fan is going to be like, all right, now I'm just, you know, watching really good high school basketball.
To take it to another level, they need another team to start to go on that kind of streak to challenge UConn.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think that they need that dynamic. They need the clear-cut, you know, dominant team. And then if there's a couple other teams that can compete with it, that's where they need to find their niche, to be entertaining to, like, a regular sports fan. I don't know. You're the college women's basketball champion here, Tony D. I mean, is that what you think, or am I off on base?
No, I agree. I completely agree. I think you need, like, the two.
You need the David and Goliath. It's the best thing to happen. Or even the Goliath versus Goliath.
Absolutely.
You don't want to see a national championship of Butler and, you know, Central Connecticut duking it out. You know, Quinnipiac in the finals with a bunch of girls from Norwalk High. I don't need to see that, but good for them.
What do you think about, so today I was reading this article on Barstool from that idiot Prez. He says that Gino Auriemma, if he doesn't coach men or try to coach men, how could he get up and look at himself in the mirror in the morning?
See, I don't agree with that.
I
think it's a completely different skill set, for one.
Yeah, I have to see.
It's just like being, you know, it's like being there's plenty of, you know, that's like saying Coach K shouldn't be able to look himself in the mirror because he never tried to coach the NBA. And I think he's smart for not trying to jump ship. Or, you know, Roy Williams, you don't see, you know, the guys that have done it, how many people have failed?
Yeah.
Way more than have succeeded.
Yeah,
and it's like, he's got his niche, he's going to go down. Granted, Pat Summitt's going to have, you know, her little place in history, but Gino Auriemma, is probably, in my mind, the best women's college coach of all time.
So,
like, why would he mess with that? That's like those. It's like everybody criticizing, like, Shaka Smart for staying with VCU. Why would you not want to be the guy known that brought VCU to this place that they are?
Yeah.
They're going to build a statue of this guy someday at VCU.
Uh-huh.
Why would he jump ship just to, what, prove something to himself that he can coach at UCLA? It's like, I never get that.
Yeah.
You know, it, maybe you'll make a couple extra bucks in the short term, but, like, long-term-wise, I mean, for him to ruin his legacy to go try to coach, he's not going to get a coaching job at Duke men's. He's going to go coach somewhere. He's going to coach at, you know, some school that's had some issues somewhere.
And it's not like he's underpaid for what he's doing
That's
now.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
why would he leave that? Was he going to go coach Rutgers and take over this horrible program? And then, you know, worry about catching some sort of VD? What was the stat on Rutgers college students, Neil? Now, this is your state university of your home state.
Yeah.
Right? That is the state university.
Are you?
To the death of you.
They're the number one sluttiest college in America.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, that's not a shocker. I mean, the shocker involved.
I've been to Jersey, yeah.
Yeah. But no, the story behind Rutgers, for anyone who's aware, is
Wycliffe Jean.
Where
is he fit into your all-time? Was the Fugees make the list? Proswell?
Fugees have to make a list somewhere.
Wantanameda?
Yeah, the left-off list.
Oh, boy.
Come on. One time.
One album. One
two
album.
Times.
And then he ruined it all by sleeping with his lead singer.
Well, look, Lauryn Hill ruined that.
I would kiss Lauryn Hill on the mouth.
She is three ways to crazy, though.
Yeah, she's shot.
I mean, she wouldn't let me kiss her on the mouth because I'm
But I'll tell you what, she carried that Sister Act 2. I'll tell you that right now.
I forgot.
She was in Sister Act 2.
The classic. That's a real movie, right?
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Sure.
Oh, happy day. Oh. I'll watch it right now. I might red box it. It's a rainy night.
Yeah.
I might pull that up.
Let's just mail in the last 20 minutes.
Let's just talk about Sister Act 2 and how great it was. Frank K. Remember that guy? I mean, I'll tell you all about that movie. I love that movie. All
right.
Well, you got some days. We got, 23 minutes left? You got some Dude, Are You Serious?
Dwight Howard. Okay, so for everyone who's not aware, Dude, Are You Serious is our weekly roundup of the internet's craziest stories. Here we go.
Dwight. Can I get one more plug-in quick?
Yeah.
We are 2 likes away from 500 on Facebook.
Oh,
498.
We have a gift. We have a gift, right? We have a special gift for that 500th person to like.
We are
giving away...
some applause or something. We need something that'll cover it up. We'll give away something great. We'll get you on the show. We'll get you something.
A free makeout session with Neil Lynch.
Yeah. That's exactly right, which that's worth its weight in gold. But so I blame myself because every... show, at the end of the show, I try to give our plugs for other things, and I tend to mess it up. So why don't you give out, because you make fun of me, and Tony D laughs in my face. Give out, it's www.facebook.com/.
You got it.
All right, / Tri-State Sports Guys.
Yeah, there you go, it's that easy. And what's our website?
TriStateSportsCast.com.
And then the hammer. You got me 0-2.
The Twitter, twitter.com/TriState_sports.
Yeah, I went home and I had to fix our Facebook logo now. I had to put this all information at the bottom right there.
I do a bad job of that. But so listen, we're 2 likes away. Just there's a lot of people that listen to
this. If you're listening right now, go to facebook.com/TriStateSportsGuys. Like the page. If you're the 500th person who likes the page,
we will call you out on the...
we will officially announce you as the official fan of TriState Sports Guys.
The best fan of all time. We do. I mean, we got a lot of people. But we get the numbers of people that download the show. There's a lot. So there's definitely more people downloading the show than going to our Facebook page and liking it. And a lot. We get a lot more discussion on our Facebook page, unfortunately, than we got on our own website. Because Facebook... is where everybody wants to be, apparently.
You lost a like there with Jacqueline?
I think if you had not alienated John and Jacqueline, we'd be at 500 because they were both fans, and I think they are
no longer fans.
We were at 500 until Tony D and his shenanigans got us off of that. Okay, now we're off of that. What do you got for Dwight Howard? Dude, are you serious? .com.
These are headlines of stories that make you say, dude, are you serious? First headline, Dwight Howard has missed more free throws this season than Steve Nash has in his 17-year career.
I saw that stat. Somebody tweeted that. That is fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
Although, I got to say this. Have you been watching that the Shaquille O'Neal commercial, the Buick commercial?
Oh, Buick LaCrosse, that's a sharp car.
You don't want to know Buick.
No, so the first version of the commercial, right? He's talking about how his mom said when he came out the womb, that's a lot more than I expected.
Yeah.
And they don't run that anymore.
Why? Is that offensive?
I think it's offensive.
It's a big baby.
Commercial?
You don't remember that? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that they deleted that.
No, they have a new version now where he's like, and now people talk about my free throws, and I hit two in a row, and it says more than I expected.
I don't even remember the first
so they
one.
So now, they now
I didn't know
they They altered it to be about his free throws instead of his mom's.
I bet you they
sushi.
Show it late night, like the 11 o'clock
yeah.
version. Anything goes.
Like we break through this Skinemax program and bring in this Buick commercial.
This Buick LaCrosse commercial. Plenty of room.
Here's a another story to make you say, dude, are you serious?
Yeah.
Jameson's pumped. Fun fact about the Marlins home run sculpture. Mm-hmm. It costs more than the entire Marlins roster.
I bet you those fish tanks do, too.
It costs an estimated $2.5 million to build, and that is more than any player. 22 of the 25 players on the Marlins roster make less than that.
Wow.
But they'll probably win a championship.
They're going to win a championship before the Mets.
Yeah. The ESPN had a tournament challenge. Can you guess the name of the winning entry?
No, I cannot guess it.
Lene Kukua.
She's back!
She's not alive. She's not dead.
She's not. She's a
she's
human
alive.
Being.
She's alive.
And she knows college basketball.
That's
and Manti's like, see?
That's the name of the bracket?
Lene Kukua's entry won ESPN tournament challenge. She correctly picked Louisville to win.
Well, there you go.
How did I miss that?
I can't believe she didn't pick Notre Dame. That's ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, what the hell?
I guess after that whole fallout with Manti, it was just all downhill. Here's another story. High school baseball team has a hazing ritual that allegedly involves biting each other.
So weird.
It's very weird. I'll tell you, our high school...
If you ever try to bite somebody in high school as a hazing, they would beat
is that
up.
Immediate grounds to quit and transfer?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean... We didn't have any of these type of high school like rituals like that.
I mean,
in college, we had to sing a song in front of the team when you're
a
freshman.
Song.
And, woo, look out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one time I had a guy wipe his butt with my towel, and it had a little
residue?
Brown streak.
Did you know about it?
What do you mean, do I know about it?
He
said, give me your towel.
It was just hanging in your locker.
No. He's like, give me your towel, wipe
your
butt.
That's funny. If he had done it when you were, like, not in the room and then hung it in your thing and then you went and used it, that would have been horrible. It's equally bad.
As long as it's to your face, you're okay with it.
Yeah. What about,
so where did you draw the line with hazing?
I think hazing's stupid. I think it's not funny. It's just weird. And it's creepy.
Yeah. When we were on the baseball team, we used to shave cool things into your hair.
Yeah, like that's funny. It's like nothing. Not, I just think it's weird. I
draw the line of biting. I don't like biting in general.
I draw my line. I draw the line light before biting.
What? Whoa. Tony D.
I would not go that far.
Tony D likes biting. Wow.
You like kissing?
Yeah.
We wouldn't go that far.
The full spectrum. I don't know. I always have thought that. That's really weird. Even like fraternity wise, like I just would be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
We didn't have it. I'll be honest. I mean, you know, all this secret stuff. We didn't have any weird things like that.
Yeah.
And I would have been no. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the elephant walk to get into your cool guy fraternity. I'm sorry.
You're missing out, dude.
Oh yeah, you guys did.
The Grambling State baseball team lost the game 30-0.
A lot of biting going on.
Yeah.
30-0, Grambling State. Yeah, Grambling State, not known. They were in the same conference as Morgan State, who we used to play at Hopkins. And I remember that game would be over in the second inning.
Yep.
Grambling State and that whole conference is not necessarily known for their baseball teams.
Yeah, but this is now keep in mind, this is following... A 0-28 basketball team.
Yeah, Grambling's got to rethink maybe dropping down to D1
C3. They have a 0-28 basketball team.
They had a really bad basketball team. Worst team of all time. And then they follow it with this baseball tragedy, losing 30-0. They gave up 27 hits and committed 6 errors.
They got a great marching band though. They got the they talk about hazing. I think it was Grambling State where they killed a guy on the bus. They had a gauntlet through their bus to get in their marching band.
And the guy got like a concussion or some kind
and
of.
He got internal bleeding and he died.
Yeah.
And they're all going to jail.
Yep.
His roommate was one of the people that beat him up.
I remember that.
Wait, everyone's going to jail?
Yeah, everyone in the thing. There's like the band leader.
Even the dude, like the flutist, who's like in the back on the phone with his mom.
They got a lot of people going to jail. He has to make it through the bus.
Yeah.
So every single person on the bus hit him with something.
There's
no way to know what
every
that
guy hit him.
How are you going to get through? You're going to be the one guy not hitting him?
There's got to be one guy not hitting him.
How are you going to prove you didn't hit him?
Not a chance.
That's what stinks. That's what I'm saying. If you're the one guy that you're like, oh, why did I join this band? I just want to play the flute.
I like the tuba. The one, the big one that like wraps around the guy. They do the dancing.
If I had a tuba, I definitely have to hit the kid.
I mean, you have the tuba already.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that's an alley. Like, look, I
had
to play
tuba.
The tuba. You would have done it. Yeah. The judge is like, oh, you little rascal. Really? Boys will be boys.
So I'll do this one and I'll do this one. All right?
Yeah.
Johnny Unitas' grandson is not thrilled with Joe Flacco playing Johnny Unitas in a movie.
When is he playing Johnny Unitas in a movie? That's happening?
That is for real. That is happening.
How do you
shake
pull someone who's never acted before and just be like, yeah.
You're going to play the lead role
in
the best
role in this movie about Johnny Unitas. Who is, he's not just like some washed
Jack was in Blue Chips. Him and Anthony Hardaway, they pulled it off, didn't they?
Keep in mind, Flacco's not really acting. He's just playing Johnny Unitas in the final football scenes.
Idris was in, Longest Mile or something like that.
Right. So that's not as bad. Who's playing him in the movie?
So he's just playing under, like, why would he be mad about that?
Because if you want a real movie, hire a real actor. My grandfather and his legacy deserve only the best. This is not
it. You ever see a real actor throw a football?
Yeah, why would
remember the guy from Varsity Blues? Yuppie from Cheshire, Connecticut? He exactly wasn't slinging it around the field.
Has Baltimore forgotten that Trent Dilfer?
He's from Connecticut.
What?
A guy on our baseball team went to high school with him. What's his name? Dawson's Creek guy.
James Vanderbeek?
James Vanderbeek.
People say I look like him.
The Beak. You do look like him.
He's from Cheshire?
He's from Cheshire, Connecticut. He's a Connecticut boy.
Oh.
And we have a good friend, Josh Camp, who played baseball with us, knew him very well. The Beak.
Wow.
The only thing they did was in that Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Yeah.
When he was like, he was calling himself The Beak, and he was just like.
Well, you didn't see Rules of Attraction, did you?
No, I never caught that movie. But he does say to Johnny.
I love the little dismissal. It's such a. I'm like really pumped about that. He's just like, nah, I didn't catch that.
But Matt Damon says something to him like, oh, I could have been and James Vanderbeek goes, you couldn't last one day on the creek. Wade says it to me. It's so funny. I mean, that movie's great. The James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, the creek is
big.
Hard. Yeah.
You couldn't last one day on the creek. So I take it back. He could sling it around the field. That's ridiculous. And you know what, Johnny Unitas' son? Be better at football so we know who you are.
He went on to say, has Baltimore forgotten that Trent Dilfer also won a Super Bowl while playing for Baltimore, which to me implies
50.
That he wants Trent Dilfer to play his friggin' grandfather. And then, of course, Joe's dad responds. Joe's dad has called Joe a goofball and said that he is dull.
Is he even going to talk in the movie?
All you need is a guy who looks like he knows how to throw a football. You would think you don't want an actor doing that.
I thought he was acting.
I
saw the story.
This guy's
going to
spend one day on the set, just throw a couple out patterns.
Yeah, and be done in pads.
This guy stinks. Oh, it's his grandson.
Yeah, so this is a grandson. So JC's father.
And his name is JC. Grow up with
Jesus you. Christ. JC's father, John Jr., added that Peyton Manning should be the one to portray his father. And this is part of a family squabble as Joe is a son by Johnny Unitas' second marriage.
Oh, Lord.
So this guy's got no say in anything.
John Jr. says of Joe, there's too many J's up in this story.
Yeah.
John Jr. says of Joe, it is awful. The guy's a turd. He never talked to me. He never talked to any of his first five children. He's a guy that's just making money off of my father.
I'm way confused. Joe is who? Which Joe are you talking about?
Joe Flacco.
Johnny Unitas' son, Joe, is involved in the process. So his
JC Unitas. Well, hold on. There's too many Joes. There's too many Joes.
Dude,
are
you serious?
Are you drunk?
There's too many Joes.
Can we get him another drink? I looked at this story for 3 seconds. I got a good handle on it.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead. Johnny Unitas' J's are on this story.
Johnny Unitas' son, Joe, from his second marriage.
Joe, no, that's John Jr., though. So who's Joe? This is Joe Flacco.
Johnny Unitas' son Joe is involved in the project and made the decision to cast Johnny Unitas.
Too many Joes.
So Joe Unitas, Joey Hughes.
Joey U.
He made the decision. Oh, we got to get Joey Flacco on here.
Right.
Joe connection.
Right.
And then the rest of it, but they got there's a little schism in that family.
Ah,
and Joey is from the second marriage, and they don't like him. And so JC is from the real Unitas,
yeah.
from the first family.
Right, yeah.
And it was like, Uncle Joe, we don't even like Uncle Joe, because he's not even my real uncle.
Right.
And why is he making a decision? How can we not, consulting me? I'm JC Unitas. Do you know who the hell I am?
And here's the ironic part of the story. The title of the movie is Unitas We Stand.
Is this a straight-to-DVD movie?
Yeah, this is
this ain't really
life,
true.
I mean. What are you talking about right now?
Not to mention that Joe Flacco, not Joe.
Joe Flacco just like offered him. He's like, okay, I'll go. And now JC United.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw the football around.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of money already.
$200,000, all right,
or sure. So keep in mind that Joe Flacco is 5 inches taller than Johnny Unitas was.
Yeah, but all the players were shorter back then, so it's got to be. I'm sure all the extras in this movie
are
bigger.
Taller?
Guys. Yeah.
Bigger?
So to scale.
So that's not realistic. Already, I'm not suspending my disbelief.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think I'm catching this fluck either. What was the movie you wanted me to see? Rules of Attraction. What'd you say?
Rules of Attraction. What did you say? You're not going to see it, dude. Not going to see it. Rules of Attraction.
I got it right?
Yeah.
Shooting on
Bing, bang.
I'm going to catch that tonight.
And then
cue that up tonight.
Netflix.
Right after Sister Act 2.
Oh, Jessica Biel was in it. You might have to just watch it.
What is it about?
Kate
the too. Beak is like a main character?
Yeah, dude.
6.7.
That ain't bad because IMDb gets a
and lot. IMDb gets a little harsh.
Yeah,
say that.
Check how many stars Sister Act 2 gets. Give me the synopsis of this movie.
It says the incredible spoiled and overprivileged students of Camden College are a backdrop for an unusual love triangle between a drug dealer, a virgin, and a bisexual classmate.
Oh yeah, Neil seems like a real winner. What are you talking about? This is a good flick.
Well, I'm not saying it's for Jameson. I'm saying it's for you. Enjoy.
When did Elmo get involved? If Elmo's not involved, I can't watch it.
Kate Bosworth. She's hot. She has two different color eyes.
Yo, so Elmo.
She don't really find too often.
Ooh, well, that's cool. Some dogs have it.
I heard she likes biting too.
Hey,
here we go.
Up next. Dude, are you serious?
So, NFL.com held a poll. The greatest play in NFL history. The greatest play in NFL history.
Yeah.
NFL has a very rich history.
There's been a lot. I mean, you got
a lot of great
plays. Immaculate reception.
Immaculate reception.
The catch.
The helmet catch.
I would even say, even as a Jet fan, this kills me, and I don't even know where it's going to go. Even the Victor Cruz 99-yard touchdown would be a play like I'll always remember. Is that what it is?
No, it's Deshaun Jackson's punt return, game-winning punt return touchdown against the Giants in the 2010 regular season.
Shout out to Coop. That was on his birthday.
Shout out to the Coop.
That was the day Cowboy went to the game with the bus.
Oh, yeah, the O'Neill's bus. Yeah. Another great sponsor of ours went down there with a bus. Yeah, that was
Did that bus make it back?
Yeah, that was a long trip home, boy.
I wanted to bring Coop.
That wouldn't even be...
That's not even top 10.
I wouldn't think it's top 10, even in my lifetime, let alone in the history of football.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, maybe if you want to say over the last 5 years, it might sneak in there. I don't even know that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you some plays. I would say the play.
Marshawn Lynch, beast mode against the Saints in the playoffs to upset the defending
champion.
We
were just talking about Joe Flacco. How about the throw he made in the fourth quarter with 50 seconds left against the Niners this year? The 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That's a better play.
Yeah.
And that happened literally 2 months ago. No?
It's just
How about David Tyree catch? I can give you 10 Giants moments, and I don't even like the Giants. I can give you 10 Giants moments over the last few years. You got the catch off the head. You got the catch Manningham made there.
I don't understand. And this to me, this is like the city of Philadelphia just got together and said, hey, we're going to win something.
Rocky Balboa was behind that.
We're going to win
he was
something.
He was the guy behind
and
the
it's going to be the greatest play in NFL history.
What about
history?
The catch back in the day, I think, on the Packers? What's the guy that? Freeman? When he catches that ball down the sideline, bounce off the guy's hit his hand, bounce off the guy's head, off his back, and then he caught it and then got up and ran in for a touchdown.
He got up and ran, I remember that.
Kate Bosworth's eyes.
They are different colors.
Yeah, man.
Whatever happened to Kate Bosworth? She's still acting?
I hope so. She's mesmerizing people with her eyes.
I think that's Photoshop.
No, it is not. You look. You can look at, like, there's like F. Carolina Wolfgang. But yeah, there's a couple of other ones that are not Photoshop. Same thing.
Alright, well, anything else you got, dude?
No, that's it.
That's all you got, Duty U Series. That's a great Duty U Series, I'll tell you. And we really covered the gamut of, we go from Cheshire, Connecticut all the way down to Philly. We really ran down the East Coast.
Not bad.
We did LA a little bit.
We can
leave that up if you want.
We'll just leave that up.
Can't all be Photoshop the same way. I mean,
I don't know. I don't trust the internet.
True. You know, come on.
Tony, you got any? We got 5 minutes. If you got maybe like one or two, we can do.
Wade Boggs.
Oh, I wanted to talk about. I'm glad.
Does he have a jersey retired anywhere?
No.
The Red Sox. I would think by that would already be like a done deal. Like that would be, you know.
Yeah.
If he didn't go to the Yankees and win a World Series.
I'm gonna tell you this. So
that's, you think that's why?
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm so glad you brought this up because I thought of this today. So I was up in Providence the last couple of days listening to Boston Talk Radio, which I told you is awesome. And so they were debating this because his idea to get back in the good graces was that he was going to be – Johnny Pesky has been there like PR guy, like just promoting the Red Sox for years and years and years. So him and
Pesky
a date
– Pole.
Pesky Pole. And he was like a beloved Red Sox. And the story behind Johnny Pesky was that they gave him this job because he just wouldn't leave hanging out with the Red Sox.
He's Pesky.
He would just always be around. And they were like, we should just give this guy a job. He's always around. So he's like a Red Sox, you know, through and through. And so Wade Boggs and his agent were like, just approached the Red Sox. Like, Wade Boggs wants to come back to the Red Sox and take over the Johnny Pesky role. And they threw out a number. And the Red Sox, like, a number that they wanted. Yeah. And the Red Sox were like, no, we'll pay you this. I mean, you ain't doing anything for us. And Wade Boggs was like, no, I'm not doing it for that amount of money. And I'm telling you, there were a dozen calls from people. All of them hate Wade Boggs up in Boston.
Really?
I mean, I was shocked. The hatred that Boston has for Wade Boggs. I'm trying to think. I mean, you think like the Jets fans hate Sanchez or Tebow? I mean, they hate Wade Boggs. And I wonder.
He was the first Red Sox to go to the Yankees.
Did you know he also, he made a demand when he wanted an extension from the Red Sox. The Red Sox were like, we want you to retire a Red Sox. And he goes, okay, my demand, and he's 38 years old.
Unlimited middle life.
7 years, $35 million. He wound up signing, so the Red Sox were like, get out of here. He signed with the Yankees for 3 years for 11.
Oh.
So, but of course, all these callers claimed they always hated him. I never liked that guy. I don't believe that.
Wade Boggs?
If you didn't like him, then why are you so angry that he left? But they all claimed, I never liked him anyway. He was never a real Red Sox. He was a jerk. He was unlikable. He's an unlikable guy, 330. I mean,
yeah.
But he is hated. I mean, they would retire Bill Buckner's number before they retire Wade Boggs. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Because retiring a number is not all about performance. It does have a lot to do with your standing. Like, the Mets, you know, with Piazza will be loved for changing that franchise around. And the home run against the Braves there on September 11th, like, that's enough for Mikey Piazza.
Yeah.
You know, he was beloved there. Wade Boggs is hated in Boston. I was shocked to hear that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that either. But how about this? The curse in Chicago is broken. Someone delivered a severed goat's head to the stadium today.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Yikes,
who thinks that this is a good idea?
You've been to Chicago? Those are some tough people.
How does this actually get through and get delivered? Like,
what service are you using? Is that FedEx?
You gotta go UPS with the goat's head.
Yeah, they got more lenient rules about what they're
packaging.
They bubble wrapped it, probably nice.
What can Brown do for you? Brown
can
deliver
it. They got a tracking number on it. Honey, they just delivered my goat head.
They just found the package. Like, it wasn't actually delivered. Somebody just left it there. My God.
That's a bad human being.
2:30 today. Somebody found it.
FedEx has
the goat's name. Bella. Where's Bella? They had a Facebook page. They were searching high and low through Chicago for this poor missing goat.
Found her, you know, walking along Interstate 72 out there in Chicago. What the hell?
We're bad people. All right, what else you got?
Roy McIlroy making his girlfriend.
It was Wozniak?
Wozniak. Now, I just Googled her. She's actually... She's
smoking.
She's not,
way hotter than Anna Kournikova. There's so many hotter...
Hard to look at.
There's so many hotter tennis players than Anna Kournikova. And Anna Kournikova never won anything. Wozniak was the number one player in the world. She's nasty. Sharapova, I think, is hotter than her. But Wozniak is
she is
extremely pretty. But there are a lot of people saying the relationship with her is really hindering his golf game. You know, he left in the middle of the tournament, and it's hindering his golf game. So there are people in the golf community, and we didn't get to talk about Tiger Woods, but yeah, there are people in the golf community that are that happy. But she is extremely pretty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She on the court, she doesn't, I mean, obviously.
She's the one that dressed up as, which is hilarious. And everybody, she got all this flack for it, but she's like good friends with Serena Williams.
I'm knocking down.
Make it happen. See if Oak can make that happen.
What's kind of Tony to fight it?
Hey, one thing he can make happen, I guess.
He can make that happen. He probably knows Rory McIlroy. All right, well, we're going to head into bonus time in a minute. We'll just do a couple minutes quick of bonus time. But thank you for all of you guys listening live out there. The next 10 seconds, you're going to be you have to upload the show tomorrow. TriStateSportsGuys.com. The rest of it, Neil already gave to you. But, all right, we are in bonus time. Tony, do you got any more? Do you want to just jump to the Masters? What do you got?
I got an alarm. How about this? I just want to get you guys' opinion. So I got this for my fantasy football league next year. It's called the Sunday Slackers.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get a trophy, some kind of award.
Yeah.
I found this. Sunday Slackers, you know, Sunday. Who does anything on Sunday to watch football?
I don't do anything on Sunday.
What do you guys
Sundays.
Think about
it? I don't do much.
What do you guys think about this? Don't say what it is.
Well, yeah, that's awesome.
You get it for the champion? Like,
I'm going to get in that league. I want to get – you got to kick somebody out of that league.
I need to be in that league.
And yes. The answer is yes.
That's a sleeping bag. I mean, that is that.
Yo, I might get that for this summer.
How awesome is that?
I need to lose some weight. I need to lose some weight.
$150.
Make it happen.
I'm
take it out of the league
fee a little bit, and then I'm gonna. That's
yeah.
Gonna be, but the thing is,
you
gotta that,
throw $12 a team.
You gotta throw a Tri-State Sports Guy logo.
You gotta get a logo on
that.
Right there.
You can't like. You have to get a new one every year. It's like a trophy where you could just give it back. Like nobody's gonna want
to. No, you gotta give it back, dude. And
really?
Then
like,
yeah.
The thing is, like, nobody's really gonna use.
That's
I
what I'm saying.
Saying what it is. Nobody's gonna use it, so it's probably gonna be brand new every.
No,
year.
You gotta bring it back. I think, it's, and the last place team has to wear it during the draft.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, in a sauna.